The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Okay, important show today. We've talked so long about the perils of the way the American diet is situated so that people are eating lots of starches, lots of sugars. The increased amount of sugar that we eat on a year-by-year basis just keeps on creeping up. And age-related disease or chronic disease also keeps on creeping up. And there is a linkage between the two. We've talked about it on this show over the years, starting back in 2009. And my guest today, who is Dr. Trygve Tolsboll, who is with the University of Alabama at Birmingham. He is a senior scientist in several of their areas, the Cancer Center, the Center for Aging, Diabetes Center, and Obesity Research is on the air today with me. How you doing, Dr. Tolsboll?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Great. And I'm really happy that you're on the air today because I have been railing against sugar and more importantly, foods that act like sugar in a glycemic index way. And I have been talking about this for so long now, the linkage between obesity and age-related disease and the American diet, which is really the cornerstone of the American diet, the base of the pyramid, are starches and cereals and foods that increase blood sugar levels rapidly. And I've talked about this time and time again, but yet most people don't listen. And then lo and behold, your group starts releasing some of the research that you're doing, and I say, I've got to have you on the show because I want them to hear it from you because, obviously, you're a scientist. So let's start out with this. Tell me, the study that linked lifespan with glucose, what was the title of that study?
The title was Glucose Restriction Can Extend Normal Cell Lifespan and Impair Precancerous Cell Growth Through Epigenetic Control of hTERT and T16 expression.
Okay. How was this study designed? What were you actually trying to elucidate, and how was the study designed?
Okay, well, basically, it had been known for since around the 1930s or so that caloric restriction can extend the lifespan of laboratory animals. And also, it can help to impair age associated diseases such as diabetes, cancer, etc. So I looked at those studies and I realized that none of the studies had yet looked at what we call the Hayflick limit, that is the cellular senescence, that's when cells age. And the cellular senescence contributes to the aging process. So the question that we asked was, could we take human cells and restrict the amount of sugar to the human cells to see if this would allow the cells to live longer? The reason for doing that is because we haven't known for sure if caloric restriction is effective in humans or not because of the impracticality of doing studies in humans. They live, 70 to 100 years or so.
Right. And not only that, try to get a human in one of those little cages.
Right, that's correct. So, yes, it's impractical.
Yeah.
So there are ways around it. One study has looked at rhesus monkeys and has found that caloric restriction can extend the lifespan of the non-human primates. But still, there is a big question mark about whether or not caloric restriction is effective in humans. And so we came up with this idea about 10 years ago, actually, of trying to restrict the amount of glucose, or which is a common sugar, two cells as they grow in flasks. So that was the basic design of the study. And we used two different types of studies, the normal human cells and then also what we called precancerous cells, because we also wanted to know if reducing sugar in the diet may help to prevent cancer.
Okay. Now, it was always thought that caloric restriction extended life, regardless of whether we get into the whole mechanisms, you know, sirtuin upregulation, blah, blah, blah. It was always thought that caloric restriction extended life in almost a mechanical aspect. You know, less fuel put through the body, less wear and tear, the body lasts longer. Is caloric restriction equal to better glucose management, and that's really all the magic is?
No, I think it's probably, I think there's probably many factors involved. Of course, we need all of the nutrient groups. We need carbohydrates, we need fats, and we need proteins. Our study indicates that the best diet would probably be one that can restrict especially the sugar and the carbohydrates in the diet, and that would allow for caloric restriction while restricting primarily sugars, but we don't advocate eliminating sugars by any means.
Why don't you advocate eliminating sugars? I'm just curious.
Because they are an important building block that provides energy to the cells, and we, for a balanced diet, we need all of the major food groups. Because they provide unique different types of compounds to the body. It is possible that we can survive for a while, but the idea is that we evolved with a mixed diet of these different compounds. I think that it could be somewhat risky to eliminate one of the major food groups entirely from the diet, but that's very different from saying we could reduce a particular group. And I think if we did reduce a particular group, then sugar would be a good candidate for that based on our studies.
But, and you know, I think part of the problem comes down to nomenclature quite often. You know, you remember, I don't know how old you are, but I remember back in the day when Xerox was the original copy machine.
Right.
And as other companies entered into the copy business, we still said, hey, go Xerox this for
That's
me.
Correct.
Xerox became synonymous for making a copy.
Right.
Well, we have this way of, in for simplicity of language, of whitewashing things with words. And so we say sugar. And I agree with you. I think sugar from whole foods that happen to have sugar already incident in them, that's not what I'm suggesting. What I am suggesting is, couldn't we eliminate refined sugar completely? Couldn't we say without risk of being partisan, if you will, for lack of better terms, you know what? If your sugar's coming from some fruit, and you're one of those people who your body does respond well to those types of sugars, then go ahead and eat fruit, but avoid added refined sugars, which really comes down to processed foods, I guess is what I'm saying.
Correct. Yes, I completely agree with that. I think that we still need, we need the carbohydrates in our diet, but refined sugar probably is not what we need, especially based on our studies. Now, I have been asked before, since our investigation showed that reducing sugar can extend the lifespan of human cells and prevent cancer development, then why do they advocate eating fruits? Because fruits have a lot of sugar in it. And my answer to that has been that's really different, because fruits do have sugar, but it's a sugar in a good package, so to speak. There's a lot of fiber present in most of the fruits, and also many different other types of healthful compounds in the fruits.
Well,
and the amount of sugar really isn't all that much.
And it should also be said that the body handles fructose in a completely different way than it handles, say, sucrose or sure. galactose. Fructose becomes a long chain triglyceride, which is a fat, and before it becomes usable or hits the bloodstream. So it hits the bloodstream slower, and if at all, lots of times, depending on what metabolic condition you're in, fruit could just become fat exclusively and not even peak blood sugar levels at all. So no, I agree with that, and that's a double whammy because people who are trying to lose fat, in my humble opinion, should eat moderate to low amounts of fruit if their goal is to lose fat, if that's their goal. But other than that, I agree with you 100%. And it comes back to the refined processed sugars. Let's do this. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about the degree of lifespan or the changes in cellular senescence that were observed through glucose restriction, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, so sit tight. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Dr. Trygve Tollefsbol about the effects of glucose on cellular aging. We'll be right back. There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MAHLER.com. Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, superdrol, and decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter Urethane Series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Finally, a Bulbine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bulbine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bulbine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I just want to remind everybody that OrbitNutrition.com is blowing out PES's new product called Shift. Shift is a pure version of the thyroid hormone T2, which is over-the-counter available because it's naturally occurring in foods. High concentrations of T2 have been linked to the ability to burn fat without affecting normal thyroid hormone production. Go to orbitnutrition.com and get your bottle of Shift for just $14.99. The summer is coming. If you want to see those abs, you better get busy. My guest today is Dr. Trygve Tollefsbol. We're talking about the linkage between glucose restriction, aging, and cancer, which we'll get into a little bit deeper here shortly. Okay, so Dr. Tollefsbol, what were the markers for aging that you were observing, and what did you see when glucose restriction occurred?
Okay, we looked at several different parameters. The first one was the growth of the cells, which, of course, is the most important parameter. So we measured the proliferation of the cells, and I had mentioned earlier about the Hayflick limit, and that's based on how many population doublings that the cells can go through. In other words, how many times can they replicate?
Right.
And when we first started measuring this, what we saw was that the cells were able to grow longer and go through more of these replications if they had lower levels of sugar provided to them. We also looked at what's called epigenetic parameters, which are modifications of gene expression that don't involve changes in the DNA sequence, and a couple of marker genes. One is called telomerase, which is very important in aging and cancer. It adds the ends to the chromosomes. And the other one that we followed is called P16, and it is a tumor suppressor, and as implied by its name, it suppresses the growth of tumors.
Okay, now telomerase we know about. We've talked about it on this show. It actually increases the length of the telomere. The telomere is actually the repair kit of DNA. So every time DNA has to repair itself to maintain healthy replication, the telomeres become shorter and shorter. Telomerase actually can either stop the length from getting shorter or actually make it longer, depending on whose study you look at. But so what is the relationship between telomerase and cancer? Is it an inverse effect, or is high telomerase good and reduces cancer?
Basically what occurs is that the telomerase becomes inactive very early on during embryogenesis. The gene shuts down even before we are born, and that starts to shorten the telomere. So in a sense, if one assumes that telomerase is important in aging, and most people do, it got a Nobel Prize just a couple years ago for this particular area, then we start aging before we are actually born, because the telomerase gene is inactivated and our telomeres begin to shorten. So they're shortening when we are actually born. Then, over a period of time, all of our cells are completely telomerase negative. That means that we have no telomerase in our cells. So our telomeres get shorter and shorter, which many believe is a major mechanism of aging. The flip side of that is that the telomerase gene is activated in many cancer cells. In fact, 90% of cancer cells, and many have said that the cancer cells are addicted to telomerase. They have to have the telomerase in order to keep on proliferating. But we can use that as an anti-cancer approach, because when we inhibit telomerase in the cancer cells, it kills the cancer cells, and our other cells do not have any telomerase. So basic idea about telomerase is that it is inactivated very early on, before we are even born, to protect us against cancer the rest of our life. But the drawback of that is that we age as a result of that. So it's kind of like a choice. Do we want to have many cancers at a very young age because we have telomerase present in all of our cells, or would we rather be at greater risk of getting cancer later in our life and have telomerase inactivated in all of ourselves, but the side effect of that is that we age.
You know, so for the first time, it's been elucidated to me through this discussion, the actual mechanism of the apoptotic landscape. It's telomerase, or the lack thereof. Okay, so with that being the case, boy, my mind is just racing right now, because this is interesting. It's okay. The reduction in telomerase at birth is convenient, I feel. I know you said it's designed to protect us from cancer, but I have to, as a layman and having no credentials whatsoever, obviously put my foot in my mouth and say that's not really why, because the body is not protecting itself from cancer. Cancer is not something that occurs. I believe personally cancer is something that is environmental. But what I was going to say was it's interesting because cancer protects itself by increasing telomerase. It's a survival mechanism for cancer.
And there are many different causes of cancer, of course. There are heritable forms of cancer. There are environmental forms of cancer. It has, that's one of the reasons why it's so difficult to treat. Many talk about cancer as it is just one disease.
Right.
And indeed, it is a large group of diseases. But that's the problem, that it's so many different types of causes, and it makes us difficult for us to approach it. But also, a typical cancer cell has incurred several hits on it. It's not just one thing that will cause the cancer cell. Generally, it's like 3 to 6 types of damages that have occurred to the cells, and one of which has to be that telomerase is increased. In fact, the analogy that can be given for this is like an automobile, and we have the gas pedal, of course, that allows the car to go. And so those would be the so-called oncogenes, like RAS, that will drive the cancer cell. And then we have the brakes, and those would be the so-called tumor suppressors, like P16, that we studied. And then the fuel of the car, of course, if it's an unlucky car that has a gas pedal stuck and the brakes are out, it would eventually stop. But it needs an unlimited supply of fuel in order to keep on driving like the cancer cells do. So the unlimited fuel is telomerase. They have to have telomerase in order to keep on proliferating. Otherwise, their chromosomes would shorten and the cancer cell would die. So it is a protective mechanism, exactly as you said, of the cancer cell to allow it to be immortal and to continue proliferating.
Okay, so while this is not a subject of your study, I feel that you're qualified to answer this. There is an herb on the market now called ashwagandha. It's been on for some time, and there's also a company in Massachusetts, I believe, that is working on a very unique version of it that has very, very high degrees of biologically active deliverable telomerase, because they want to market it as an anti-aging supplement because it does increase telomerase production. And the assumption is that DNA would stay intact and replicate healthier for longer periods of time in the presence of telomerase. But then what you just said also implicates that if you do have a cancer, or if you don't and you're prone to a cancer, that the telomerase that you're using to protect all your other DNA is going to fuel the fire of the rogue DNA that is becoming cancer cells.
Yes, this is an excellent comment, because it is telomerase is a double-edged sword. And so one needs to be very careful. On the one hand, if we provide it to prevent aging, then that's a very good thing. But on the other hand, it makes things a little bit riskier because it does predispose to cancer. So like most things in life, it's a matter of the happy medium. For example, oxygen. Without oxygen in the air, then we will die within 7 minutes or so. But also, 100% oxygen can kill us as well. What we need is the 23% oxygen that's present in the atmosphere. So There's a perfect example of the happy medium. We need the right concentrations of things. Without oxygen, we die, and with too much oxygen, we die. We need the right amount. And a similar concept with the telomerase. I think providing telomerase could be advantageous, and indeed in our study, we showed that telomerase was increased in response to glucose restriction, which we think is one of the mechanisms that allows the cells to extend their lifespan. But that needs to be very carefully monitored, because if the telomerase gets too high, it could put one at greater risk for developing cancer. But the levels that we're seeing are just enough to extend the lifespan a little bit, and we saw no evidence that it was putting the cells at risk of transformation.
Okay, we're going to go into a break here, but I want to ask you two questions and kind of get just the Reader's Digest version answers. Number one, the amount of telomerase that was increased through glucose restriction, did that in fact promote, or the glucose restriction promote or retard the potential for cancers?
No, we did not see any predisposition towards cancer in the normal cells. We did see some increase in the telomerase in the normal cells, but it was just enough to give the cells a boost. And there are other factors, too. It wasn't only telomerase, but as I mentioned, P16 was also involved, which would be, so in this case, the telomerase would be the fuel for the car analogy, allowing the cells to go a little bit further, to divide a little bit further. But then also there was P16, which is a tumor suppressor. And
right.
We found that actually decreased, which also allowed for the cells to proliferate a little bit longer.
So there you go. So, it's not just one thing. There's a synergy. The body is intelligent. The body is intelligent. But what it comes down to is that glucose restriction was the magic. And that's what I want to talk about when we come back. What I want to talk about when we come back from this break is if what was seen in your laboratory was carried out into the human body, is it realistic to achieve that amount of glucose restriction in the human body? We're talking today with Dr. Trygve Tollefsbol about the linkage between glucose restriction and lifespan. And now we're going to get some hard answers on how to apply this in our own lives. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol, with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful
powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's OPResource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to OPResource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. OPResource.net. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to let everybody know who went and ordered the Mike Mahler, Mark Philippi Mastering the Strength Moves DVD yesterday. It was pointed out to me, and I forwarded it on to Mike Mahler, that the additional 10% off the DVD that Superhuman Radio listeners received was actually taken off of the already reduced 50% price, and it should not have been. Mike Mahler is actually correcting that on the website and going to also send people back the additional $4.95 that they didn't get when they purchased it. So if you bought it already, you're going to get something back. And if you haven't bought it, it's been corrected. Go to MikeMahler.com. Check it out. Great DVD if you want to build strength. And we know stronger is younger. So check that out. Okay. So we're talking with Dr. Trigvi Tullasbol about the linkage between glucose and longevity. But what does this really mean in human terms, Dr. Tullasbol? First of all, blood sugar levels are generally measured in millimoles a liter, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So is it realistic to manage blood sugar levels in the average human to the degree that can increase lifespan, first of all?
Yes, well, this also is a very good question. What we found is that for caloric restriction in general, we need to reduce the amount of calories by about 25 to 40% in the diet. Of course, that brings up a major compliance issue, but it's been known for many, many years that this level of caloric restriction will allow for an extension of lifespan and to reduce age-related diseases. In the study that we did, we used, of course, human cells growing in a flask. So we haven't yet translated this to the human body. But we used 4.5 grams per liter of the glucose in the normal cells and then 15 milligrams per liter of the glucose for the glucose-restricted cells. So they did have glucose present in it, but it was significantly reduced. The big question at this point is, where does the reduction start to have some effect? And we don't know that yet. We have taken the initial steps to look at a point of glucose restriction, and we have found that it works. It does extend the lifespan of the human cells and prevents the precancerous cells from becoming cancerous. But exactly how that translates is really for the next studies. We know that it works. I guess an analogy to that might be, say, originally when the Wright brothers were flying their plane. Well, they got the plane up and it began to go and then maybe just went a few feet. And somebody might say, well, gosh, you have to lie down in this plane and it only goes, a few yards and doesn't go very high. How's that ever going to be practical? And also, there's no airports.
Right.
So how's this ever going to be useful if there's no airports? The key was the first step to show that it works. And that's what we have here. We have done the key steps to show that it works. The more practical studies to come later have not yet been done. I believe, just like in the analogy that I gave, that it will develop to perhaps levels that we have very difficult time to imagine, just as the Wright brothers may have had a hard time imagining the airports like we have now and the supersonic jets, et cetera. You have to start somewhere. This is where we have started. I'm hopeful that at some point in the future that we will know exactly how much of this to restrict, what effect it has on the human body in terms of, as you were asking, the amount of glucose in the blood. And eventually, I think all of those studies will be done. I have to say, at this point, nobody knows this. We've just taken the first step to find out that it works.
For those people that listen to my show, we know that you don't have to go as extreme as caloric restriction to get the same benefits of sirtuin upregulation and increased cell lifespan.
Correct.
There's a lot of research out there that shows that intermittent fasting, I'm talking about little short fasts, 16, 20 hours, actually can have the same effects as on lifespan, at least on the cellular level, that they've demonstrated this in and especially in rats as well. So you don't have to, because the whole idea of caloric restriction, to me, it's a bit extreme, and it's almost, I remember the first time I saw a television show about caloric restriction, this poor withered guy who was eating, like, I don't know, 1200 calories a day, and most of it was vegetables and stuff, and he looked pasty and white and he looked frail, and I thought to myself, you know, for the extra 10 years or 15 years, whatever it is it's got to be a miserable existence. But we do know now that intermittent fasting can also potentiate the same genetic changes to increase lifespan. Now, the question I have...
If I could...
yes, please.
Mention, yes, that's a very good point. In fact, every other day fasting can work. People have tried that. One day they will eat freely, ad lib, and then the next day only have very little. Some people find that comfortable. What I say is whatever works for you, do it.
Right.
And we are interested, too, in the caloric mimetics. And these are drugs or compounds that are currently being developed that one can eat, but it won't deliver the amount of calories. So you can eat freely and still not deliver the amount of calories. The analogy there would be like a Diet Coke. You can drink a diet or a diet soft drink. You can drink it as much as you wish, but you're not getting the calories. The problem is we have more difficulty doing that with foods and designing foods.
The other problem that I'm totally opposed to is the reliance on chemicals that we don't have, and especially in the area of epigenetics. Those who delve in epigenetics deeply understand that the things that we are eating today may not manifest their true effects until a generation or two from now, where we see, oh, wow, look at what's happened. So, and I am totally opposed to, I mean, to me, it's contrary to ingest chemicals and stuff that really we were never designed to eat. But I can appreciate what you're saying. And maybe the answer is, those of us who are athletes, we look for nutrient dense food because we're trying to hit 4,000 or 5,000 calories a day. So we want to eat it in less. So we look for high fat foods. Maybe the answer to that is nutrient sparse foods that have less of an impact calorically.
Yeah,
I think, like that.
Yeah. I think the best caloric mimetics are the vegetables and fruits where you eat these, but they don't have the caloric impact. So you can eat them and eat freely. And not get the delivery of the calories, and that way you don't have to take drugs. You're eating natural foods. In fact, I've heard that
Yeah.
Or vegetables and fruits. I don't know if you've heard about this or not, but they recently revised it. They used to count, you know, it's a point system with
Weight
Watchers.
Right.
And they used to have points for vegetables and fruits. My understanding is now they're revising their entire system, and you can eat as many fruits and vegetables as you wish, and it doesn't count as any points. And it may be that that is a better way to go, where one can, you know, have a diet that's rich in these vegetables and fruits, and the amount of calorie delivery that you get is much less. And that way you don't feel as hungry, you're getting the nutrients that you need, and you're also not having to take any unusual drugs or anything that to mimic the effect.
I have to commend you. You know why?
Why?
Because you consistently put vegetables in front of fruits, which is contrary to the way it's presented by most dietary gurus today, and I agree with you. I'm opposed to the suggestion of eat lots of fruits and vegetables. I like the idea of eating vegetables as the primary source of my carbohydrates and fruits secondarily. I look at fruits more the way I would look at desserts. And when we look at
we look at
ancestral diets, we know that, you know, Paleolithic human beings, they came upon fruits periodically and seasonally, and in some regions of the world, not at all. And so, you know, fruits need to be looked at as an option, not necessarily a needed item, but vegetables clearly. And I like that. You consistently said vegetables and fruits as opposed to fruits and vegetables. And that, and really that's contrary to what most people say.
Okay. So, yeah, I do think that vegetables are better than fruits. Not that I think fruits are bad or anything. I think they're fine. But another great thing about the vegetables is that many of them have epigenetic compounds.
Bingo.
Modifying compounds, and we just did a new paper on this, and it made a lot of news, and this is called the epigenetics diet. And by eating these vegetables such as soy and many other types, broccoli, especially the cruciferous vegetables, they have epigenetic effects that appear to prevent cancer. In fact, there's a wealth of information out about this. They have compounds such as sulforaphane, which can have epigenetic effects that will keep the tumor suppressor genes active and prevent them from getting silenced and predispose us to cancer. So I think with vegetables especially, you're getting many different advantages. One is you're getting a lot of fiber in your food. You're not getting a high caloric hit with them. And also, so you can lose weight and feel full by eating them. And then in addition, you're taking the new epigenetics diet, which is protecting you against cancer, because many of these vegetables have compounds present in it that prevent us from developing cancer.
Yes, yes, I love that. The only thing that I would disagree with is that I'm not a proponent of soy for so many reasons. And all the research that we do on soy, we always point to the Asian diet. Asians don't eat the soy that we eat here. They eat a fermented form of soy that is devoid of the isoflavones, which are hormone mimickers and endocrine disruptors. So I would, my audience is, I'm sure, as they were listening to you say that, they were waiting for me to chime in about soy. But I'm totally opposed to soy. I believe that it's more of an endocrine disruptor threat than even bisphenol A. And it occurs so readily in our diet. But here's what I want to do. I want to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I want to ask you, what kind of lifespan lengthening do you foresee or can you imagine occurring when blood sugar levels are kept at a minimum? We're talking with Dr. Trygve Tollefsbol about the linkage between glucose and lifespan. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do we all-
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. Finally, a Bulbine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bulbine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bulbine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines 3 of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these 3 agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I just want to remind everybody that opresource.net, your single source for real peptides, offers my listeners an additional 25% off when you use the coupon code SUPERHUMAN25, SUPERHUMAN25. Go to opresource.net today and check them out. My guest today is Dr. Trygve Olufsen. We're talking about, I'm sorry, Tolufsen. I apologize for that. Hey, I got it right all show. You believe that?
Oh, you did great.
And I screwed it up now. I just screwed it up.
No, it's fine.
I want to ask you, first of all, I want to ask you if you are monitoring a peptide, since we were talking about peptides a couple seconds ago when I was coming out of the break, called Clotho, when you are looking at the markers for cellular senescence.
No, we haven't done that. We have looked at a number of markers, as I indicated, the proliferation of the cells, and we do something called the senescence-associated beta-gal assay, which causes the cells to turn blue when they age. We have a number of different markers, but we haven't looked at that. In fact, I'm not so sure I'm familiar with that particular one.
Clotho is I think I did my first interview on Clotho in 2008 or 2007, I want to say. It was I can't think of her name, but she was with the Albert Einstein Institute, someplace in New York. It was a Japanese researcher that first discovered cloth oil. It's a very, very short, I think 9 or 11 amino acid peptide that was able to extend life in C. elegans by 30%. But like so many of these elusive things, like we were talking about the upregulation of telomerase, having a different effect when it occurs from glucose restriction because of tumor reduction factors of other things that are being produced or modulated. Clotho occurs in very, very high levels in diabetics, but yet diabetics do not see its benefits, its life-extending benefits. So the clotho mystery is still perplexing. But clearly, clotho in a vacuum can extend life, but clotho in a diabetic does not. So,
okay.
But clotho is a peptide that apparently some thought when it was first discovered, especially those of us who are on hormone replacement therapy who have turned to very small doses of human growth hormone, you know, 1 to 2 IUs a day as a supplemental dose, thought, oh my goodness, we're going to be injecting clotho pretty soon and extending life. It didn't work out that way at all. It worked out in the worms, but in humans, there's something else going on. So I was just curious if there was any taking note of clotho in this instance, just to try to elucidate the linkage between clotho and longevity. The other thing
we
is...
We haven't done that. I think it'd be interesting to do that. But, I think you asked a while ago how much extension that we got.
Yes.
And we got about 30 to 70%
really?
Extension of the lifespan of the cells. But then again, this is just the initial study we did. There was a lot of glucose restriction. So the question will be, how much could we get in terms of translating to humans? And if they reduce the amount of sugar that might be practical for them, especially processed sugar, then how much effect would that have on the human lifespan? We don't know that yet, but in terms of the cells that we were looking at, and these were human cells, in some cases we got as much as 70% extension of lifespan, which is exciting because most people believe that, as the aging of our cells go, so do we, since we're, of course, made up of these individual cells. But we also found differences in terms of systems. So we used several different types of cells, and we found differences in how effective this was. And you know as well as I that different systems age differently. So in one case, we may have certain organs that are aging more than others, or different systems may be breaking down sooner than others in different individuals. And one thing that we'd really like to do is to be able to try this on different cells from humans, a whole array of types of cells, to see if we can infer how effective caloric restriction is for these individual types of cells.
Does mitochondrial function slow down in the restricted glucose model?
We haven't looked at the mitochondrial function. I think that would be something to look at. Certainly the TCA cycle should be connected to this because when you consume the glucose, it's going to feed into the pyruvate and eventually you're going to make a lot of the ATP and all that collectively helps to stimulate the TCA cycle, which is located in the mitochondria.
Right.
So I think it would be interesting to look at mitochondrial function in this system. But again, this was just the first study. And so I think it raises a lot of exciting results. But then, like any good study, it also raises even more questions. I think there's just a whole cloud of question marks completely surrounding this. It's exciting, but there's many things that we still don't know, and we have a long way to go with this. But the first step, and as they say, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one small step. I think that one small step has been taken with this study,
right?
And then there's so find out about this?
You know, I realize that you do not condone this notion of eliminating any food groups or anything that extreme, and I do agree with you, and I think we're both in agreement that refined sugars that are added to foods, especially in the way of processed foods or sweets and desserts, probably safely, we could say, without offending many people, you know, you really need to restrict the intake of these. It's simply because even though we don't know what the translation to the human model is and whether or not it's even realistic to achieve that level of glucose restriction dietarily or safely, it may be that we can restrict glucose to that degree, but the brain doesn't function in those conditions. So, well, who cares about saving cells at that point in time?
with that
whole dissertation, is it not exciting to you also from the standpoint of the way the American diet and so many other countries that are following our dietary protocols today, the way we consume these, you know, starchy carbohydrates that hit the bloodstream so quickly, you know, glycemic indexes of 100 and so on and so forth. Is it any wonder to you that we have the level of disease in this country that we have today, given the way people eat?
No, it's probably the biggest problem now. I think we pretty much are winning the war against smoking, for example. Still, it's a major health problem, but people are educated on that. And, you know, if somebody wants to inflict harm to themselves, it's really hard to stop them. But at least now people know, and there are warnings on packages that we get. Similar with alcohol, there's warnings there. But when you go and buy a big juicy hamburger at the fast food store, there's not a warning on that. Or when you're served a gigantic steak or something like that, a restaurant doesn't have a little sign on it saying warning mega doses of cholesterol. So I think that, it's not a surprise that we are suffering from so many chronic diseases given our diet. I think the epidemiology has clearly shown that. Others, especially the Asian countries, do much better in general than us for cancer, and also frequently with aging, like the Okinawa studies where they've...
It's changing there now because they're eating our diets. The interesting thing, even the Hunza, which were the bastion of longevity, are eating our diets now, and they're not living as long. So it really comes back to the way we eat here. And we're coming to the end of the interview. I just want to throw something in here. I interviewed a scientist a few months ago who did a really interesting study of elderly individuals. I think they were 60-year-old and up, and they broke them into categories based on the predominant consumption of certain foods. And so they had some seniors who were eating protein, high protein diets. Well, not high protein. They were only eating moderate amounts more protein than the rest of the groups, but the protein was their predominant macronutrient. And then they had the sweets group, and these were the people who gravitated towards sweets, candies, cookies, cakes, and so on. They had a cereal group. There were actual groups of seniors who eat cereal 2, 3, 4 times a day as their primary intake. They followed them over years. I think it was 14 years that they followed them over. And what they learned was that the protein group lived the longest, and the sweets group lived the shortest in the study. They died the soonest, followed by the cereal group. And this.
I would have guessed as much.
Well, sure. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, what baffles me is the adherence by the dietary orthodoxy out there who continue to promote things like popcorn and cereals as healthy foods and snacks. I mean, it's just, it baffles me. I watch Good Morning America sometimes while I'm on the treadmill in the morning. And whenever there's a big event coming on, like Super Bowl, and they had someone on there saying, well, you know, what you should look to are things like popcorn and, you know, and I'm like, wait a minute. Are you kidding me? These are not the foods people should be eating. They should be eating healthy fats, healthy, lean proteins. and healthy vegetables and all that other stuff should be at the top of the pyramid. Cereals and pastas should be at the top of the pyramid. The proteins and fats and the healthy vegetables should be at the bottom of the pyramid. The pyramid needs to be flipped.
Correct. I think you're making excellent points, and the government is protecting us to as much as they really can from smoking and letting us know about this and restricting where you can smoke alcohol. There's warnings on the if you go buy a beer, there's warnings on that. They're not doing any of that for the sugars.
Thank you.
And probably some people could argue that we need to have the government protecting us at least to some degree. Now, if somebody wants to harm themselves and ignore warnings, then I guess, you know, they still have that right, even though most people might think it's not very smart to do that. But, I think that we need some type of help with this to not only educate people, but also to put warnings on things, to let people know that they are risking their health when
Bingo.
They consume these things. I
like that. And you know what? And because of researchers like yourself putting this stuff out there, you're going to have your detractors. You're going to have your attackers, no matter what, because there are people
yes.
whose livelihood will be threatened by information like this.
Of course, yes.
But you got to put it out there and let people hear it. And if nothing more, let people start thinking about it. Maybe they won't say, "Oh, okay, now I understand what I need to do to save my own life." But at least they'll start thinking about it. And if they think about it long enough and they hear other information and they compare it to what they understand and what they know, people will start to understand it and maybe take action. But I think that I commend you for this type of research. Where are you going from here? Do you have another a study getting ready to be launched as a result
yes.
of this one?
Yeah, we have a number of different studies that we're doing. Well, one study that we're wanting to do now is to look at the inheritance of this. We want to take mice that are pregnant and then try to restrict the amount of glucose that they have to see how it may affect their progeny. Because as you started out the show, you were mentioning something, I think that you mentioned it, that the generational differences.
Yes.
And so we're asking the question now, how might this affect our children,
right,
and even later generations. So we're wanting to look at transgenerational epigenetics in response to glucose restriction to see how beneficial that could be.
And you know what? And this is yet another exclamation point in this statement that you are not a slave of your genetics. You have control
Correct.
Over the outcome of your life. And 90% of it is what you put in your mouth. And that's it.
That's correct.
Listen, Dr. Tolleswell, I want to thank you very, very much for coming on the show today.
Okay, I'm delighted to do it, and I had a great time.
Good, and we'll be
and
back.
Hopefully somebody learned something.
Yes, and we'll stay in touch with you because I want to hear more research. I would love for you to look at mitochondrial function, biogenesis, and size in the glucose restricted model. That would really be interesting
Those
stuff,
are
right
good
there.
Ideas.
Yeah,
I think
there you
go. Suggested several interesting things that we could consider looking at.
Very good, very good. So we'll talk to you again then. Okay.
Okay. Thank
right,
you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, so there you have it, another episode of Superhuman Radio. You now heard it right from science's lips. Sugar is the devil. I've been saying it all along. If you want to take your life, just increase your sugar intake, and you'll die faster. Hey, maybe this is part of evolutionary selection pressure. Maybe not all of us are supposed to get through this. Who knows? All right, we'll have another episode of Superhuman Radio tomorrow. You're going to want to tune in. I've got Sean Casey coming on talking about advanced glycation end products. And then later in the show, we have Dr. Andro. We're going to be talking about exploring more information about amino acids. We'll see you tomorrow.